Please turn in your Bibles to Revelation 10:1. Last week we covered the sixth trumpet judgment, where four angels were released from the area of the Euphrates. We believe these are demonic angels that were waiting to kill people, and then God just releases the restraint that he had on them. A 200 million kind of demonic horse and rider scenario is the way. You know, there's different views about this, but that's the one that I really think is happening here. That Satan is again unleashed. He was unleashed to torment with the earlier trumpet judgment, and now he's actually being allowed to destroy. And I wanted to emphasize that demons are allowed by God to have power where the people want them and where Satan wants to be. And you can even see that how important it is in the sense that where Satan wants to be, because of the giants, which were Nephilim, fallen ones, that they were staged in the land of Canaan. When you read the book of, you know, when you read Genesis and Judges, you find out that the Nephilim, hybrids, demonic hybrids, were in the land of Canaan. Why were they there? Well, because Satan knew that God was going to bring the promised people into the land of Canaan, and he had them there to say, no, you're not. So the things that, the stronghold areas in the world where demonic forces are in places where Satan wants to be, which surrounds the Middle East, because it still remains the center of God's prophetic word is Israel. You know, trying to keep Israel out, trying to keep Israel from surviving, trying to annihilate them. And that's the River Euphrates area is where all that happened, rebellion against God. And the other place that Satan is allowed to go by God is places that people want him. And I want to emphasize, because it is so important, and I really think it's true. I mean, I think it's true based on the Word of God. There should be nothing in your house that has to do with demonic forces. If there's a glorification of demon witchcraft, sorcery, etc., DVDs, things, music that your kids listen to, everything else, so much of the music world is steeped in satanic imagery. Many of the games that kids are playing, and you think they're just playing a game, go watch what they're playing. And I've seen people warn, you know, a group of people at a Brian Call conference, and he came up and started, because I don't game, I was unaware, and he says, look at what is happening here in these games. Demonic stuff, oppression of Christians, hatred of God, all these things are part of the games. Better not let that stuff in, because in a sense, we're saying, I want Satan in my house. I want him in my life. I want him in my thinking. Bad things happen when that happens. You might just think your kids ran off the rails just by chance. No, they ran off the rails because they got programmed and they're starting to embrace the things of evil and wickedness. Be careful what's going on. My parents didn't have a clue how come I went from being a pretty squared away pagan kid to being absolutely off the rails. And you know what it was? It was a neighbor coming over and say, hey, let's sniff glue together. And started sniffing glue. And just all of a sudden, just bam, went into Satan's world. And then, oh, my parents did, oh, yeah, everybody's getting a Ouija board. Here, kids, play with a Ouija board. Oh, let's play with a Ouija board. Off the rails. And see, they didn't know. They didn't understand. We have to get the devil out of our lives totally. That's my encouragement there. And this week we're going to start a 5-chapter parenthetical section of the scripture, because what we've seen is Jesus opens up the 7 seals of the scroll, bam, 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 and judgments of God are happening as he opens the 7 seals. The 7th seal started 7 trumpet judgments. So then 7 angels had 7 trumpets, and you know, one trumpet blows, another one, ramping up judgment against the people of the world by God. He starts judging the world. And now we're waiting for the 7th trumpet to blow. Hasn't blown yet, but when the 7th trumpet blows, it lights off the 7 bowls of wrath. And what God does in chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, is that he says, okay, you need to know this other information that's happening right at this time, parenthetical statement, before I let you know what happens with the 7 bowls of wrath. So today we're going to a parenthetical statement that shows us something really profound before the 7th trumpet blows, bringing in the 7 bowls of wrath. So let's read all of Revelation 10, and then we'll go verse by verse. That chapter 10, verse 1, I saw still another mighty angel. And angel, again, literally means messenger, coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, for those of you that have been with us since chapter 1, who do you think this is? Don't say it out loud, but just think what the imagery is here based on everything that we've gone through so far. We'll cover it when we get there, but just let your own little mind make a little guess there. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. And the angel whom I saw, verse 5, standing on the sea and on the land, raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, seventh trumpet blowing the seventh, the seventh angel blowing the seventh trumpet, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Now, if you read that chapter without any awareness of what Revelation has taught before, or any awareness of other sections of Scripture, you'd be thinking, what in the world does this mean? And you'd be just making up whatever you wanted to make it mean. But actually, using Scripture to interpret Scripture, we can know what's happening. And this is a profound chapter of the Bible. This is an amazing, profound chapter. Going back to Revelation 10:1, it says, and I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Now, remember the cloud. Throughout Scripture, when you read through the whole Bible, you're going to say, what does it mean when a cloud? When Mount Sinai, when God fell on Mount Sinai and gave Moses the law, what happened to Mount Sinai? It was covered in a cloud. When God was directing the Jews for 40 days for 40 years in the wilderness, what led them? A cloud by day and a fire by night. We saw that there was a cloud when Jesus, in Ezekiel 1:28, it talks about the rainbow, which is the next one. The rainbow, like the appearance of a rainbow. Ezekiel is seeing the throne of God in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. So then Ezekiel, he sees the throne of God. He sees a cloud and he sees a rainbow. What is rainbow and symbolic of in the Scriptures? God's mercy. So we're seeing the cloud of judgment and majesty and power and how he, rules over the world. And we see rainbow, that he's merciful like the sun. Revelation 1:16, his countenance, chapter 1 is clearly Jesus. His countenance was like the sun. Matthew 17, at the transfiguration, it says that he was transformed before them. His face shone like the sun when Peter, James, and John were up there. So with all this imagery, including feet like pillars of fire, that we also have seen in Revelation, who is this? This is Jesus. So Jesus is now symbolized here as being a messenger, because is Jesus a messenger? It says angel. Angel means messenger. It's too bad they didn't capitalize angel, because not everybody thinks this is Jesus, but it's so clearly in the words that are used here, it's talking about Jesus. And Jesus comes with this scroll, verse 2. And he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. So what do you think this book is that's open? That's been, you know, for those of you that have been here, what is the book that's open? It's the book of the scroll that's been a topic of our study when in chapter 5 all of heaven is going, who's worthy to open the scroll book? Who's worthy to open the scroll and to unloose its seals? And John starts weeping because he thinks that there's nobody worthy. And then in chapter 5, then it says, don't worry, John, there's actually somebody who is worthy. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's worthy to open it. And when we were teaching about that, what allowed him to be worthy? He became a man. He died for our sins. He took our place on the cross. And it, you know, we expounded for a whole service on all that he did to make it so he's worthy to take back the scroll of title deed to earth, to give back man the earth that he created for us to enjoy. And so now we see him plopping right foot on the sea, left foot on the land, and he has an open scroll. Why is it open? Because he's popped the seven seals. And when he popped the seven seals, it started seven trumpet judgments. And now the seventh trumpet judgment is about to blow, but it hasn't blown yet. But what we find out is that when the seventh trumpet blows, then the mystery is over. Because the final wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world in a way that the people of the world are going to be, that the wicked, the evil, are going to be finally dealt with. And the mystery is over, that he's giving back the planet to the people that he wants to give it to. Who are those? You know, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the Cains in the world. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain, who didn't want to worship God God's way, didn't want to bring a blood sacrifice. He would have been the one in the crowd in Jesus' day saying, crucify him, crucify him. You know, as Jesus had said, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, suffer and die on behalf of the sins of the people and raise on the third day so I could give them life and forgiveness. Cain would have said, who cares? I don't want that. I'm going to just bring you some other offering. That's what Cain did. Everybody in the world today that rejects Jesus is like Cain, whether they like it or not. And he was a murderer. He wanted to murder his brother because his brother goes, why don't we do what the Creator told us to do? Why don't we do what God, who created the heavens and the earth and gave us everlasting life and gave us, you know, here our parents told us the Garden of Eden was perfect until they brought old Satan in and corrupted this place. Why don't we do what he says it takes to be right with God and sacrifice a blood sacrifice? Why don't we do that? See, that's what it is. Everybody is either worshiping Jesus because he's God's plan to save us from sin, or they're like Cain saying, forget your Jesus, and I don't want to hear about him anymore, and I'm certainly not going to bow my knee to him. Everybody's Cain or Abel. And so he opens the book, set his foot on the right hand, you know, his foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he's getting ready to take it back. We're the last 3.5 years of this 7-year tribulation period, as the timeline says that you can get online. It's on our webpage for the last several services. If you go to calvarypo.org and go to Revelation in our sermon archives, I've attached the document of the timeline so you can print it off and keep it if you want to. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation are the trumpet judgments. Last 3.5 years of the tribulation period are the bowls of wrath judgment. And that's when it ramps up. The Antichrist is possessed by Satan. Satan's been kicked out of heaven. All these horrible things are happening. And that's when God says, it's going to be done. I am finishing the plan. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. Now, the world loves this. The world doesn't love the Lamb Jesus because they reject the Lamb Jesus. But they like the kinder, gentler. Oh, Jesus was so nice and everything. He would never judge. He would never deal with sin. He loves the homosexual lifestyle as much as he loves the heterosexual lifestyle. He's not going to send anybody into judgment or anything for raping and pillaging and lying and stealing and everything else. That's how the world wants to think about Jesus, this wimpy little lamb that's not going to do anything. The Bible doesn't leave us with that option, because Jesus the Lamb, who didn't come to say anything you want to do is fine. He came to take our place as a Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And now he's going to be the lion. And he's roaring as a lion. And he's taking charge as the lion. He's going to take back the planet. He's done messing around with the wickedness of the world. And we can be glad, right? I mean, we can be glad he's going to deal. with the wickedness. And a warning, if any of you have not given your life to Jesus and therefore are living in wickedness, and you could be saying, what do you mean? I'm a good person. I'm better than my neighbor. I might be better than some people in here in this room. Only by comparing yourself to yourself or to other people. But what the Bible says, better not do that. Better not compare yourself with other people. The wicked do that. Compare yourself with the God who created the heavens and the earth, who's sinless and holy, and who's given us his laws. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt. And then you'll find, if you ever do that, if you sit there and go, man, the Creator says that actually I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a wicked person. You know, if you're a sinner, you're a wicked person in the eyes of God. Might as well admit it. Now's the time to admit it. Not when you're standing before the God of the universe and he asks you what you did with his son Jesus and you said, I didn't need him because I'm a good person. That's not going to work very well on judgment day. So don't be doing that. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Don't you, in a way, hate that when that happens? I used to be in the submarine service, Navy, and had to know certain stuff that, you know, can't tell anybody. But, you know, I'll still talk to people. I'll say, you know, I used to be in. Now, what did you do? I can't tell you. I hate it when they say that. You know? Because we want to know everything. We don't want any secrets. But God kept a secret here. And we don't know. And all the good commentators will say, and we shouldn't even try to know. Good commentators say that. This is what I think. And let me use this analogy. And of course, we can't know what was said. But in reading chapter 10, I'm going to give you a little this is the big picture what chapter 10 is saying. And I'll start it by saying, how many of you love lightning storms? You know, I love lightning storms. It's almost like I want to move away from Washington because we never get a lightning, or Western Washington, because we never get a lightning storm. But grew up in Colorado, lightning storms. And, you know, to the point where, tragically, I mean, we knew people that got hit by lightning. One of my high school, one of the guys that I went to high school with got taken out. He was actually in Wyoming riding a horse. But our area has lightning storms. In New York, same thing. And when we would see the kind of thunderclouds that, oh, we're going to have lightning, my sister and I would sit on the back porch and watch it. And as it comes in, you know, you hear it, you see a flash, and a few seconds later you hear the thunder. And then flash, thunder. Then flash, thunder. Then flash, there's no delay. Bam! Because you saw it go right over there, just over the hill. And there's no delay, and it is just like explosive. And we used to love, I used to love, even though I didn't believe there was a God and everything, I go, just the power that's in this lightning storm is just, I would sit in awe of it. So, we're going to see that Jesus is basically saying through this chapter, the delay is, there's no further delay that's coming. And it's like, it's just like hearing that first thunder and second thunder, and you know what's here, and the full power of a thunderstorm is right in your face. And it's just like, I am done, I am done, I am done. And you get to the seventh, no more delay, done. It's over. There's the corruption, the waiting and being merciful and restraining his hand on the wickedness that's in this world is going to be done when the bowls of wrath are poured out on the earth. And verse 5, and the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it. So some people think, well, this can't be Jesus because he's raising up his hand, swore by him who lives forever, which is himself. But see, the Bible says that he can swear by no other. He swore by himself and his promise to Abraham. So he's just saying, hey, us from the throne, we're swearing that we created that swore by him who lives forever, who created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it. And you'll see throughout the scripture that when there's prophetic word being given, whether it's Isaiah, Daniel, whatever, and something big is being said, something huge is being said, that people are going to say, this couldn't possibly happen. What does God start it with? The one, you're hearing this from the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. So when God is about to say, I'm done, it is over. There is no more delay. It doesn't matter what you people on earth are thinking. The Antichrist is in charge. Satan has been kicked out from heaven. Demonic issues on earth are just going rampant. The people of the world are saying about the Antichrist, because this is the timing of this. This is the middle of the tribulation. The people on earth are saying, wow, the Antichrist just ramped up. He killed the two witnesses in chapter 11, which we're not there yet. He killed the two witnesses. And he took power over them, and they were able to just breathe fire and destroy people that were trying to mess with the rebuilding of the third temple. And he's all powerful. He was actually killed and came back to life. He is now forcing everybody to take a mark in their hand or their forehead, or they won't be able to buy or sell, and rounding them up. And it says, who can make war against him? That's what the inhabitants of the world are going to be saying. Who can make war against him? And God is going to say, I can, because I created the heavens and the earth. I created everything. And you've misunderstood my mercy of not dealing with this and all the people that follow wickedness. You're misunderstanding mercy. You act like I'm a wimp and I can't deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. And this is why creation is so important. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. You know, one of my side passions, my two side passions are really trying to understand the flood of Noah. A judgment on the entire world except for eight people. And my other passion is young earth creationist ministry. Young earth creation is what the Bible teaches. Satan has invested a whole lot of effort to deceive the world into thinking that we're mutated amoebas and that we're just nothing. There is no God we're going to answer to, and there is no creator. There is nothing. Everything happened by time and chance. I find it amusing that there was a scan of the Great Lakes. They did a sonar scan of the Great Lakes. And they saw a semicircle of rocks. And you know what they concluded? They said, okay, I'll stop before this gas pipeline goes here and stuff. That's evidence of human civilization that was, you know, sometime the Great Lakes was lower in elevation. People were living there, and we can't disrupt it. Might have been a burial site or something for some ancient civilization, so we can't do this. Now, why do you think that there was human intelligence there? Well, because chance wouldn't do a half circle of rocks on the floor. So how did human DNA got there? Happened by time and chance. I mean, do you understand how there is such a delusion? People can look at the human DNA, not just human DNA, plant DNA, animal DNA, the creation, the how far the earth is away from the sun and is perfect for providing life, water, everything else, time and chance. But six rocks on the bottom in a half circle had to have been by the human intelligence. Amazing. And God says that man is without excuse for one simple reason, and that is the creation. People will go up and stand before God on Judgment Day and go, but, my pastor told me I didn't have to believe in Jesus. There's lots of religions in the world, and they're all equally monotheistic, and, you know, some of them are monotheistic, and it's whatever you want to believe as long as you believe it sincerely. But, and he goes, no. I created the heavens and the earth, and you saw the creation. You saw the trees, the animals, the perfect way I have created everything. And you didn't think you had to bow the knee to the Creator and to find out what does He want? Since He created, I should know what He wants of me. He wants me to obey His law. And He wants me to admit I don't obey His law. He wants me to admit the only way that I can be saved from disobeying His law is to believe in His Son, Jesus. And then to say, and Jesus, because your word says that I want to do open heart surgery, I want you to take your invisible spiritual scalpel, open up my chest, and go in and do heart surgery and change my heart to turn it from a wicked heart that wants to live for itself and instead turn it into a heart that wants to live for God. And that's what the creation is calling all of us to do. Some do, most don't. As what Romans chapter 1 verse says, 118, for the wrath of God, which is about to be poured out after chapter 10, 11, and 12 in the preamble, you know, and the wrath has already come to the earth through the trumpet judgments, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Now, is that happening today? No. But Romans, Paul is being inspired in Romans chapter 1 to say, the day is coming. When is that day coming? Chapter 10. Jesus is done popping the seal. He's got the open scroll. And he's saying, I'm done. I'm going to deal with it. It's over. I'm going to be the lion. Suppressing the truth. Are we living in a time where the truth is suppressed? Have any of you tried to pass on to your friends through Instagram or whatever messages of just factual truth pertaining to the things that have happened in politics? And then the people that, and you say, Dan, you didn't respond to my Instagram. And they say, I never got it. Because they're shadow blocking or just flat out blocking or taking you off of communication platforms because you're telling the truth when they're in the mission to tell the lie. If a scientist or something says, you know what, I know we're studying DNA. There's no way this could happen by time and chance. I believe that God must have created it. What's going to happen to that person? They're going to be suppressed. The truth is going to be suppressed. They're going to be fired. They're going to lose their job. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This is, again, judgment day. They can go but all they want. And God's just going to simply say, the creation, what did you do? If you didn't humble yourself, you're without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. People that don't believe there is a God who created all things, the Bible says, their hearts have been darkened and become foolish. And what is it that has darkened their hearts? The pride, our own pride, is what keeps us from wanting to humble ourselves to anybody else, let alone God. And because at the garden, when Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, what did Satan say? If you take this fruit, you're going to feel like you get to decide what's good and evil, and you'll be like God deciding what is. You can be like God. You don't have to answer to him. And see, we're all infected with that, and it's pride. And if we don't get over that by realizing that we are not God and we can't create anything, you know, we can be all enamored that we can make a cake. Oh, I created a cake. Kevin, what do you mean I created a cake? Well, where'd you get the ingredients? Go ahead and just, you know, there was one time a scientist says, I can prove to you time and chance. I can create just like God did. And so then God says, oh, okay, you know, let's have it out. Let's have a nice little debate. And he goes, and then so then you go first. And the evolutionist, he grabs up some dirt and he goes, wait a second. Get your own dirt. You know, tells the evolutionist, don't be taking dirt and then making life. Get your own dirt. We are so easily deceived into a prideful stance against God, and we shouldn't, because we're going to be without excuse, because they knew God and they did not glorify him. Everybody here want to glorify God? We should want to glorify God because he created this world. He created a way for us to get back to him, even though our great, 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 great ruined things by listening to Satan instead of God. And he so loved us that he sent Jesus to make a way. We should be glorifying him with every portion of our being. Verse 22, professing to be wise. Do the evolutionists profess themselves to be wise? Do they call us a brick short and mentally challenged and tinfoil hatted and everything else. They call us foolish. And it's so amazing to me. It just doesn't even bother that they think that we're foolish, because I know I'm wise, because I believed in the God who created the heavens and the earth, and he's given me everlasting life. On Judgment Day, we'll find out. Wait until Judgment Day to find out who's the fool and who's wise. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, this is really amazing. In the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The Word of God told me 19-plus hundred years ago, told me that when a people go from an acknowledgement that there is a God that they answer to, that was the creator of the universe, and they instead morph over into esteeming, worshiping the creation rather than the creator, God, in the same way that God let loose the four angels of the Euphrates and brought destruction, what God says is they don't want to believe the truth. They want to believe the lie. And so what God does is he gives them over. Oh, you want to believe the lie? You want to believe the lies of Satan about how he came about? Well, then here's what's going to happen, because Satan isn't going to just be happy to say, oh, you believe in evolution now. You believe that everything happened by time and chance. See, God, they can't even look outside and see that you're the creator anymore. They're going to believe me because I told them this joke in school, and they believe it. He doesn't stop there. He says, then I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to lead them into an unclean life. I'm going to lead them to just go after the lust of their flesh, because they're going to think they don't answer to God. All the thou shalt nots are going to be thou shalts. All the thou shalts will be thou shalt nots, which is the book of Satan. Is everything that's thou shalt not is to do, and everything that's not to do is to do. And they'll worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. You know, this climate change utopia stuff that's coming, you know what that is? It's a worship of creation. We're going to annihilate people, businesses, everything else to create a global taxation on this carbon tax. And we're going to worship the creation, Mother Earth, instead of acknowledging the existence of man on this earth. And because Satan hates mankind. And there is going to be massive die-off coming in this planet because of the worship of the planet. They want, as I said in an earlier study, the Georgia Guidestone, these globalists and this global carbon, decarbonizing the world stuff, those are nice little words for eliminating human beings. For this reason, because people wanted to turn to unrestrained lust of the flesh, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lusts one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, which is shortened lifespan. And so God says, if you turn away from acknowledging me as the creator, and you don't think you need to answer to me, then you're going into Satan's world, and you'll be deceived into your lust to go into the homosexual lifestyle. Now, that's what the Bible said 1900 years ago. Is the Bible true? Can we certify that this is more than just a book? This is the Word of God that never, ever errs? And I can guarantee you, because of how much it's into our life, that every single person here has been affected one way or another by the increasing embracing of the homosexual lifestyle, which is the embracing of a in-your-face God, don't tell us what to do. Our country is being affected. Your lives are being affected. Your future of being able to even communicate what's the truth and what's a lie about this is being affected. You can lose your job by telling the truth of what God's Word says. You can be beat up and killed, and everybody in the crowd watching you being killed for just simply stating what God says out of love of trying to minister to them to turn around and repent so that they can have life, they would be cheering your murderers on. But 30, 40 years ago, absolutely not. We have fallen. And when God says, when you fall away from the knowledge of God as our creator and answering to him, this is what's going to happen. It's what happened. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. See, now, then they keep going and say, man, I just want to do whatever God says to do, I don't want to do. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, is that a problem in our culture today? Wickedness, covetousness, what's that? The socialist communist takeover of the world, coveting what other people have, the global reset, supposed to happen with the World Economic Forum, was supposed to do the global reset conference in Davos, Switzerland in January. They moved it back to March. They're already programming. It's coming out big time in the media. The global reset, the global reset. And what do they say? You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. We're going to take everything that you own, indebted world. And you're going to be happy about it. Because as long as you're a good comrade in the new marking system that we have, we'll give you your daily, we'll give you what you need to live. And you'll be happy because you'll be out of debt. And you'll be getting the money that we give you if you stay as a good comrade. That's their mantra. They are planning it. It is going to happen. It again fits with the Word of God in creating a global government. It's being openly discussed, openly pushed. And Australia or New Zealand just had, there was a senator that said, I want to propose a bill that says we will not go along with this communist Marxist global reset. One person. The rest of the entire Senate voted it down. Because these people have been given over to the deception that is sweeping this world. It is coming. Filled with covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Oh, you know what? I can't believe it. The defund the police cities are having their murder rates going up. How did that happen? Oh, I want to be called a prophet. I told you it was going to happen weeks ago. But I want to be humble and say, it wasn't because I'm a prophet. It's because I read the Word of God and I know that the Word of God says we're evil and wicked. And the only thing that keeps us from being full out wicked and evil is because of restraint. And either you have the restraint of God living inside of us that makes us as Christians not want to murder anybody, or the people that don't love Jesus and they want to murder people because somebody did somebody wrong. And they what restrains them? The forces of the police. And you get rid of them, what's going to happen? Now I can carjack people. Massive carjacking, robbing, stealing, murdering people are happening in the places where it's been defunded. And all just, and it goes on to say murder, strife, deceit, deceiving people, evil-mindedness, whisperers, lying and backbiting behind people's back, haters of God. What else besides haters of God? Haters of? You, people that love God. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning. Undiscerning. Man. For me to go out there and say, the manager at Ace was called. I walked in and one of the mask Gestapos said, sir, you got to put on a mask. And I said, no, actually, I don't. And I've had a doctor tell me I don't need to. Thank you, Dick, for that. Sir, you do have to put on a mask. And I said, no, I'm just going over here to check something out. And then she goes, manager to aisle 31. And I go, oh, okay, I'm just going to, okay, turned around, went out. Wimped out. But if I were to be able to get her into a position of saying, do you know that if I'm about the only person I know that doesn't wear a mask. So everybody does wear a mask. And people are still getting the flu. They're still getting the cold. People are getting COVID. How could that happen? You have double valve protection. You got your valve And I've got my valve, and I've got double valve protection. Yeah, Navy nuclear days, double valve protection is, yeah. It's good. You got your mask, I got my mask. We should be ending all disease on the planet because we have 7 billion people in a mask. No, sir, you need to have a mask. We're talking now at a time where people are under the complete delusion in this world. Now, I'm going to say that if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. People ought to be able to wear a mask if they want to wear a mask because they're protecting themselves, and they can say, who cares about him that doesn't have a mask? But see, don't let the emotion change the facts. And actually, there is this article, Landmark Study Finds Masks Are Ineffective. They probably spent millions of dollars for this, when all it took is to find out a virus is that stinky and a mask is that dinky, and so it's not going to work. It's really quite simple, but I digress. So, disobedient to parents, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, is there a problem with parent-children relationships to have kids say yes or no, sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am in the culture today? Untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God? That those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Are we in the last days or what? See, this isn't just America. This is the world. This is where the world is at through the media that has spread the filth that has gone through, because man is tempted, you know, and when you put it all right there in his lap to just turn into the things of Satan, porn. When I first went to South Sudan, you know, there was nothing. There was no cell towers. There was no electricity. There was no roads to travel and stuff. And the last time I went, everybody's got a cell phone and the roads are open and the filth is coming in. The porn is coming in. And I realized, oh, bummer, South Sudan's dead. Because the world now has full access and the full technology to start polluting the minds of the people again. And for us too, we've got to be having that stuff turned off or it's going to affect us. Going back to Revelation 10:6. Swore by him who lives forever and created the heavens and the things that are in it and the earth and the things that are in it and the sea and the things that were in them, that there should be delay no longer. Like, I am done. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he was about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So what is the mystery here? To me, the mystery to the inhabitants of the world at the time that this is happening is halfway into the tribulation period. The mystery is going to be, I wonder who's going to win. Because we have the witness of the 144,000, and they're talking about, you need to fear God and turn away from evil, and this Antichrist is a bad guy. Most of the world's not going to listen to him, we already know. They're going to be saying, these trumpet judgments that have happened, that's the wrath of God, that's not anything yet. Wait until you see the bowls of wrath that are coming. Well, yeah, but I see the wrath of the Antichrist, and I see what he does to anybody that gets out of line. And he owns the whole world, and he has a global economic system, and he's controlling everybody and everything. You're telling me to go against him and to believe in a God that I can't see, and I see him and he wants my head. If I don't listen to him, who's going to win? You know, most people don't want to, you know, you want to get on the winning side, right? The mystery is going to be over. God is going to show he wins. And he wins and he completely destroys the kingdom of the Antichrist. He destroys his mystery Babylon. He destroys his plan to invade the Valley of Megiddo and to wipe out the rest of the Jews that are still alive in Jerusalem, and he is going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split in two, and he's going to say, come on, you Jews, get in, get away from the Antichrist and come here, and then he's going to annihilate those that make war against him. Our Jesus is going to come back. And you look at even the country today, there's a lot of people. There was one supposed Justice Department officials saying, hey, I know almost the entire Justice Department is involved in the coup attempt against Trump and, you know, the false election and everything and the ballot stuffing and everything. He goes, but I have to stay quiet. In the group, I don't even say anything because I can't be seen by them because then they'll take me out. But I hope I have enough evidence that I'm not with them so that if Trump wins, that I don't get shot as a traitor. Have you thought about what it would take to turn the evil that was perpetrated upon the citizens of America in this fraudulent election? How deep it is in the intelligence agencies, the CIA, FBI, the media completely covering up everything that happens. Do you realize what it would take to undo that and to win? There would be a lot of blood spilled. And there's people predicting there's going to be a lot of blood spilled. And the same thing for God. What is it going to take to unravel the kingdom of the Antichrist? It's going to take the wrath of God being poured out on the world. So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me the little book." And he said to me, "Take and eat it, and I will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth." Why is it bitter? It is bitter, in a way, to watch judgment come, isn't it? I mean, because we love life. The fact that millions are going to be judged by God is a bitter. But what's sweet about it? What's sweet about it is the final heaven and earth. The final kingdom of God is going to be there for all those who love him. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." And actually, verse 9, I forgot. So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me a little book." Now, I would have said, "Please give me the book," because it is Jesus. But he hears the angel from, he hears the throne of God say, "Take the book." "Okay, give me the book." And so he's actually eating. And you know what? In a sense, it's becoming part of his. Who is the new heaven and the new earth for? Who is it for? It's for us. It's for us to take it in and eat it and enjoy it for all of eternity. And Jesus is saying, "Hey, I made it for you. I did this for you. I came to the earth. I died on the cross. I suffered the persecution at the hands of man. I beat the devil Satan. I'm thumping him at the end here because now the delay is over with. And now this is yours. Eat it." It's going to be bitter to watch the judgment that has to happen because we're life-loving people. But it's going to be sweet when it's all over and there aren't any more evil people that are around to destroy it. And so then some people think that this last verse 11, "You must prophesy again to many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings," was telling John, "Now I want you to write, after these parenthetical statements, I want you to write what the wrath that's going to be happening on the earth with the bowls of wrath." Others think that he's talking about, that God is talking about, John is going to be one of the witnesses in chapter 11 because it's, you know, he's going to be prophesying to people. And I don't know what the case is. We'll find out someday. But compare with Ezekiel 3, where Ezekiel was told, "I don't want you to write your prophecy to the Gentile nations. I want you to write to the Jews," in Ezekiel chapter 3. What's different here? Same exact thing. He was supposed to eat a scroll, and it was bitter to his stomach, but it was sweet also. And that was because the judgment of God was coming upon an unbelieving Jewish nation at the hands of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. And Ezekiel was warning, "You guys have been worshiping idols. You've been turning against God. His wrath is coming." And they rejected his message. And now John is told, this one is everywhere. The book of Revelation is for the entire world because it's not just Israel. It's not just Jerusalem. It's the entire world is sucking down this Kool-Aid of the coming global government and the deception that's sweeping and the global reset. And the global system, a global government that's coming, it is the whole world. And God's Bible, his chapter 10, is warning us there's not much time before Lamb is the lion and going to take it back. We want to be on the right side of that. And that is to worship Jesus while there's time. I pray that there's nobody here that hasn't done so. And so we'll pick it up there with chapter 11. It's just a reminder, we're going to inherit the heavens and the earth. And it's been 2,000 years where the things that we're reading about here could not have happened. The world wasn't ready. All the prophecies are ready. And especially when we get to chapter 11 and we see what's going on there in chapter 12, Everything is ready. The Jews are ready to build their third temple. First time in 2,000 years. They're ready. And the Bible said it would happen in the last days. So there's not much time. It's time to be looking up. It's time to get right with Jesus if you're not, and to worship Him until He comes. Father, we thank You that You've given us life through Your Son, Jesus. We thank You You've given us Your Word, Lord, that we can know who wins. And though the devil, in his psychosis, rebelled against You and fell from heaven, thinking that he could be God, as the prophets say, that he was saying that he would ascend on high, that he would be the number one, and he's deceived so many hundreds of millions of people into the same deception of thinking they don't need to bow the knee to You. And God, I thank You for the people You used in my life to finally just break through the barriers to let me realize that God, I was being a fool to join in that chorus of pride and arrogance by our fellow man. And I am so thankful that You are merciful to me and forgiving and willing to forgive and to change my heart. And I know that everybody here that truly loves You is thinking the same thing and praising You for the same thing. That God, You've allowed us to have life, and that life is in Your Son, and He's coming soon. And pray that You would just help us to appreciate that, Lord, until You come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song.
All our love is due Him.
in light of all that. All of our love is doomed. Save a little bit for our wives and husbands, because and our children and our fellow man. But really, our love is due him, because without him, we could do nothing. And he's plunging us into that victory of everlasting life with him. Remember that. Rejoice in that. Thank God for that. Until he comes to take you home. In Jesus' name, God bless you.